I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2017 coverage.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio.
Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
We bring you interviews and commentary from all the E3 2017 press conferences,
roundtable discussion,
all the latest gaming coverage,
developer interviews,
the latest news from the crew.
A Gamertag Radio exclusive.
Here we go.
E3 2017 coverage starts now.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio. This is a brand new episode here live from E3. Guys, you did it. We did it. We finally finished. Wait, I'm the only one clapping here? What the hell's going on? No? No claps? No claps? No claps?
Don't you have a sound effect for that kind of thing?
Yeah, but what us,
he wants,
man.
He wants it organic.
Yeah.
Real live.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do.
Oh, God.
Freaking Paris.
No, honestly, we did it, man. We did it. It's been a crazy, crazy week for us. Tough. Day one was tough. But
that was actually day three.
Well, talking about the convention-wise.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying. All right, whatever. All right, and so we have a couple guests here. Let's start with Q, Game Crate. What's up, Q?
What's up? Q from GameCrate.com. How's it going, fellas?
Good, good. And also, Sharif, Spawn on Me podcast. First time we're here.
First time.
Yeah. How's everything, man?
I'm good, man.
How was your first E3?
First E3, you know, everybody was saying how hectic and crazy it was, but I was like, you know what? It's my hectic and crazy first time, so... This is, you know what I'm saying, that this is like my first time. So this is all I have to compare it to. So cool, it was good. You know, it was good.
Dope, dope. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and other podcast directories. All right, so games, the last day of E3. Pete, we got to talk about this, man. We got to play Mario Odyssey.
Yes.
I think it changed your mind. Now I bet you now you're thinking about getting the Switch.
Well, as I said, while we were there on the Nintendo show floor, I need Danny to come out with the presentation,
for his
Switch
life
bow tie.
Yeah,
I need to talk to Paris and get a copy of the PowerPoint deck. I think I might have to go in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was it that changed your mind? Like
it was Mario Odyssey. Point blank, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Splatoon was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I think I might appreciate it more on the
on the screen. Yeah, yeah.
Versus trying to do it in whatever mobile mode is, whatever it's called.
Yeah. On the go.
On whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
But
it's fun. I'm just not a fan of the whole motion. Like,
yeah,
it's like
you have to.
You can take
control.
That out. You could put it regular.
It's not required.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to sit there and go and start fuddling through settings.
I know.
But yeah, it's. I need to start. I need to start. I might have to sell a couple comic books and stuff.
Oh man.
Yeah. No. I mean, this is why I think that Nintendo chose to release that later around the holiday. Because they know that it's going to push units. Like, they know that people are going to see it, and it's going to bring even laps like Nintendo fans. I think they're going to be like, I need to check out this Switch.
I was surprised that they announced this game for October. I thought this game was going to come in November. I was like, yo, this is officially right before Black Friday, October 27th. A crazy day. Three big games coming out that day. Or close. Actually, four. With Destiny 2 PC version. Mm-hmm. Comes out around that time.
Yep.
So,
like, you look directly at me when you say that, but okay.
Well, you are the
Destiny guy.
And Pete.
Yeah, three out of the
I played Destiny too.
Oh, yeah.
Four of the five in this
Destiny. Oh, my God, I'm the only one. I'm kind of like casual Destiny player.
Four out of the five people on this right now are Destiny 2. You should have just scanned the room with that camera.
So, any other games you guys also got to check out today?
Skull and Bones. I finally got to play that today, and it was quite enjoyable. I think. It has a lot of potential to be a fun multiplayer experience, or as I sat in an interview with the creative director as well, it's basically just one mode. Like, you just live in the world, and there's constantly, it's all basically always online, and there's going to be people coming in and out. And obviously, you can link up with your friends and do the 5v5 stuff against other people, but they could be random people that you're going up against. And, you know, the story mode's integrated into all the stuff that we're doing and everything. So, I mean, it has potential. He said it's not going to come out till holiday 2018. So they still have a lot of time to, you know, to continue developing it and changing things and, you know, listening to feedback and all that. So I think that game has a lot of potential. It was born from, you know, the naval stuff in Assassin's Creed 3, mm-hmm. and then, you know, which was perfected in Black Flag. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely on my radar, which I have to say, just side note, Ubisoft as a company had a fantastic showing at E3 this year. They had a lot of titles, you know, that were worth, you know, worth checking out. Like, hey, that I need to put this on my radar. Like I said, honestly, because I didn't play Odyssey. I mean, Mario Rabbids was the best thing I played at the show, easily. You know, and that was from Ubisoft. Then you still got Far Cry 5, which has all kind of potential. Assassin's Creed, you know, I got to play that. That looks interesting. South Park coming out, that is hilarious. You know, so it's like, they got some stuff coming, man. So it's good for them. Good for Ubisoft, you know. Mm-hmm. They're definitely consistently hitting with these IPs and are taking risks and doing the kind of things that we need in this gaming industry, instead of just doing the same things over and over again.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Q?
Well, you know, everybody is talking about, you know, God of War and you know, all the big games and stuff. I think one game that kind of surprised me, even because I've never been interested really in the series at all, was Monster Hunter World. I don't know if you guys got to check that out. Mm-hmm. But I sat in on one of the demos, and you know, for those who don't know the game, it's kind of like an RPG action, third-person action game, and it has a guy and his quests are going to hunt down these monsters. And they kind of look like big dinosaurs. I'm sure if you were at E3, they had a big old booth that had this big old dragon-like, you know, monster there. But it took this guy, like, 30 minutes to take down this one monster, and it was crazy, and all the stuff that he had to do to take that down. And then there's also a multiplayer component, a co-op component, where you and three friends can get together and kind of take down these huge monsters together, set traps in these jungles and kind of lure the monster out, and set yourself up in different parts of this jungle and you know, take down these monsters. And I was really impressed. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I was really surprised. I've never been into the Monster Hunter games at all. I know it's mostly been a Nintendo 3DS game or
it's been a
mobile game. There's been a couple Vita console too. Games to, yeah. too, but this is the first one on this current gen of consoles here in the West. So I was really surprised by that one. So I'm kind of looking forward to that
one. Did they have also the new one for the Nintendo Switch? They had it there too. It was only the PlayStation Xbox version.
I only looked at the PlayStation Xbox version. It's also going to be on PC.
And, oh, PC too? Oh, yeah. Wow.
So,
okay.
That's going to be big. I was at the Capcom booth today, and it looked really good.
Mm. I mean, E3 overall, was it...
Are you going to ask good? Sharif about his name?
No.
Wait, he said, I thought you mentioned Mario Odyssey, no?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, wow. Sharif, there you go.
Not at all.
Sharif, tell me.
That was, you don't read, you don't listen, you don't pay attention.
Just don't care.
No, I honestly thought you were, I thought it was Odyssey for you.
No, you just said directly instead of assuming.
Wow.
I love the love here, y'all. Wow. I can feel it. So one thing that I did not get hands on with, but I did see a demo and a presentation for that I really am looking forward to, was Crytek Hunt. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing a lot of Friday the 13th, which has the proximity chat, and you're kind of creeping around like these kind of darkly lit environments. And Hunt is kind of like a mix of that and kind of like Evolve and Call of Duty, sort of. Mm. Because like you're like in this really darkly lit swamp, and it's like three teams of two players each, and everybody gets essentially like the same target, which is a monster somewhere on the map that like you have to find essentially by finding clues. Like they're not on the map at all, and you have to find it get to it first and then escape with like whatever it drops. Mm-hmm. So there's all kind of like psychological stuff in terms of like, yeah, I can go for it, hit it a few times to like alert everybody else on the map and then run out and like hide, you know? And there's like this proximity chat as well, which like reminded me a lot of the Jason game because, you know, there's, you know, you have to communicate with your teammate, but other people can like also hear you, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and obviously it's a Crytek game, so it looks incredible, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game as it gets, you know, closer to a beta build, because I believe that like they were showing like pre-alpha footage. But yeah, that game looks great. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Was there any disappointments?
For me, and I don't think the game will be a disappointment, but just the showing, Destiny 2.
Destiny 2?
Really? Yeah.
Destiny 2 disappointed.
I was disappointed by Destiny 2. I was. Everybody fall out.
I see Paris on the floor. Everybody just got up. Q is holding on.
Yeah. I was disappointed.
Why? Why you were disappointed? I mean, the line was ridiculous. It was long. It was
So I will say that I got to play the countdown mode, so like the multiplayer mode.
Yeah, Paris is on the floor, by the way.
Man down.
You know,
down.
And it just was, to me, it was not a mode that shows well on the floor. It's a mode that really requires you to, you know, have a good knowledge of the maps and have like a better knowledge of the game to really enjoy that mode. Because, you know, it's like a 4v4 mode where like you have to arm and like a defuse a bomb, and like your teammates can like revive you. It just didn't show well, and I just didn't have a good time with it, to be honest.
To be fair, there's a lot of, I know some Destiny fans that aren't too happy with the 4v4 across the board. You know, they want, they like 4v4 as an option, but not like all of multiplayer. You know, a lot of us still like the chaos of 6v6. You know, it's fun and everything's just exploding and going crazy. But you know, and I understand that. So go ahead, yeah. Paris. What are you gonna say?
Well, Sharif, if you listen to our interview with executive producer David Allen and PC lead for Destiny 2, David Shaw, I have them explain why Bungie is going with 4v4 and why you should be able to accept it, embrace it, and enjoy it. No, but on the real, you know, I'd mentioned this to Noseworthy at the Destiny 2 reveal when I interviewed him, and then I legit brought it up again today talking to those guys. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I mean, I'm not a fan because, like, my son and I love to do 2v2 stuff together, just me and him. I don't need two other people with me. It's me and my son against two other people. That's the whole point of it, right? Or if we do a elimination match or trials or something 3v3, I like that. I don't like being forced to have to do 4v4 for everything. Like, you can't even do Rumble anymore if you want 1v1 matches, stuff like that. So the hope is the community communicates this strongly, and then Bungie course corrects, you know, by early 2018 and changes it. But one problem that we are going to run into, even if they do go back to 6v6 and let us mix up the modes, is going to be the fact that these maps for Destiny 2 are made for 4v4.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. So then things are going to be weird when if you try and stick 5 and 6 people on a team. So, you know, there's going to be checks and balances on that. So unfortunately, this decision that they made, we're probably stuck with it for at least a year, you know, as far as it being viable, even if they do course correct early on. So it's unfortunate, but hey, what are you going to do except voice your opinion? I mean, that's at least one thing with Bungie we know is they do listen to the community, and they will change things that the community doesn't like for the most part. There's some things they don't. But
all right, so we have Destiny 2. Any other games?
You know,
ooh, he
to
got
be
a
honest,
little snooty with him. Any other games? No.
To be honest, I was kind of bored with Detroit Become Human.
I agree.
I went into the presentation. I didn't get a chance to play it, but I went to the presentation
good
and everything.
Because we sure as hell
felt like, you know, you press the button to make the action. There wasn't very much that the player controlled in the game. you know, it's very, what is it, QuickTime?
Yeah. QuickTime QTs.
Yeah, yeah, QTs or whatever. And that's like the whole game. And I guess it was kind of cool because in the presentation I was in is where Jesse Williams, the guy from Grey's Anatomy, I think his name's Marcus in the game, we decided that he would start a riot. You know, he'd lead the androids starting a riot in the area they were in. That was interesting to watch, but I don't know, man. I don't know if I dig the gameplay. The story has to be really, really strong for me to probably get into this game.
It just looks nice, like the graphically look,
yeah,
right?
It looks nice, yeah. But I'm not sure about the gameplay. The story has to be really strong.
Yeah, I was expecting more, and then the trailer was kind of, I don't know. I don't know. But Pete, you have any disappointments?
I don't know if I could say disappointments. I was impressed overall with today. Actually, you know what? I'll take that back. And it might be the maturing Peter.
Okay.
The father Peter. But South Park fractured but whole. Like, I get it. It's South Park. It's, you know, Trey Parker, Matt Stone. That's what they're known for with South Park, right?
Right. Yeah.
But I'm sitting there with a young lady at the demo booth, and I'm playing it, and, like,
it was kind of awkward in real life.
I'm sitting there. I'm watching all these things, like, you know, that first scene in the bathroom, and I'm like, she's like, you know, and you could look up and throw the firecracker and knock some things down, and I look up, and on the roof, I'm not going to say what it is, but, you know, it's an unmentionable, and then, oh, then you could pick it up, and I'm like,
why?
And I'm looking at the girl, and she's like, hee-hee, and I'm like, why? Like, is it really that necessary?
Yeah.
It made me feel uncomfortable throughout the rest of playing it. And at one point, I was like, okay, I think I'm kind of done. Can I just do the interview? I want to get out. I want to go wash my hands, take a shower. So
yeah, it feels dirty. That's how I felt last year when they were showing the South Park for the first time. I was like, okay, the fart jokes is funny the first few times, but like for the entirety of the game, it gets kind of played out to me. I don't know if it's just because I'm an old man or whatever.
Or it gets old after a while. Yeah.
That's South Park, though. I mean, that is
South Park.
That's why I stay away from those games, because I know I can't deal with it over the whole length of time.
Yeah.
Even though the gameplay might be great, and like I know Stick of Truth got great reviews, but I'm like,
yeah, and it's going to continue because I even asked the developer during, or I think it was a creative director or something like that, during the interview, and he was like, yeah, this is going to be an M for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, God forbid a mom or a mother or father,
I mean,
or an aunt or whatever, buys it for their
part.
Kid. It happens, right?
Yeah.
You know, because
it's a cartoon.
It's
so
a cartoon, it's South Park. Like, everybody knows.
Everybody should know by now.
By now, this was, what, since the 90s?
Yeah, but grandparents don't. And that's the thing, you know, because grandpa's like, oh, I'm just going to make my grandchild happy. And come on, let's buy. I want to buy South Park. Okay. And then when that scene happens,
I blame them because it looks Grand Theft Auto. I've seen parents buying those type of games for, like, their 10, 12-year-old nieces, nephews, or grandkids, whatever. It's like, it's too much in my opinion. I don't know.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Gamertag Radio presents E3 2017 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
Was there any, like, surprises that you were, like, going to the booth, okay, this is going to be okay, you get to play it, wow, okay, this game is up there, man, I'm probably going to buy it now because of it. Was there any games like that? I'll tell you one that surprised me big time. The new Metal Gear game, which I mentioned that last night. Survive, yeah. Really good game. Really good. Really good. I was totally, like, having a blast, man, with, how many? Is it, like, four teammates? Me plus three people we were playing. But it was a lot of fun, man. I'm not a Metal Gear guy. Like, I'm not. But I really got into it, man. So, and it was for PlayStation, but we played, so, yeah.
I mentioned Bosses mine. Mine was Monster Hunter. That was my
Monster Hunter,
game.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine, you know, but Paris brought it up earlier, that Mario and Raven Rabbids Like, I was not expecting anything out of that game, or I was expecting it to be much simpler in terms of the options and the combat and the movement. But, you know, they put in some fairly complex, yeah, like, mechanics and, like, rewarding. Like, it makes you feel like you're actually learning the system that, that they set up. And, you know, and the art style is great. I mean, they really do combine those two worlds in, like, a good way. I think it's going to be a quality game.
Yeah, that's section 2 in the PowerPoint deck, by the way.
And it's early, too, August. Perfect time.
Yeah, right? August, yep.
You know, right before the holidays.
Yeah.
And when all these games are going to come out September and October, yeah. Paris, you'll repeat?
Well, I just...
I keep repeating it over and over, but I mean, I agree with Sharif. That would probably be my biggest surprise, because it was such a pleasant surprise how much I enjoyed that game. I can't... Oh, and we'll Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves. That would probably be the other one where I went in like, all right, here we go. Wait, this is kind of fun. I like this. I think I want to play this in early 2018 when it comes out.
Is this the type of game that, because you got to see it last year and you were like, but this year you actually got to play it.
I got to play it. I think putting hands on it and actually going through all the cooperative stuff that you have to do, while it looks simplistic while you're just watching it, you're actually playing it. I mean, it can get a little stressful. It's like your ship is sinking and you got to bail all the water out. And it's like, all right, come on, guys. We got to get down here and do this, you know? Or if you're trying to get away from something and you need to hurry up and drop anchor because it can spin you around, and then you need to pull the anchor back up. And all right, hurry up. We got to get the anchor up. We got to go. You know, things like that. So it gets a little hectic. It's fun. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Very cool.
I do know what my biggest disappointment is now.
What?
$4.99.
$4.99.
And not for me, because I've talked about this to death at this point. It is worth what, and I'm talking about the Xbox One X, it is worth the price of admission for what it does. My disappointment comes from, I was hoping Microsoft would try and make a splash, and they didn't. They did what you absolutely expected them to do. They didn't give it an aggressive price point and try and market it towards anyone beyond the hardcore. Because like we said, the hardcore will buy this day one. You ain't finding it on a store shelf in 2017. It's going to get bought by the hardcore Xbox fans. I want them to convince the people that are on the fence about Xbox, give them a compelling reason to say, wow, at that price and for what it can do, maybe I should go pick it up. Maybe I ought to give it a chance. To me, my disappointment is that Microsoft didn't do anything at this E3 to convince anyone, to change anyone's mind from before E3. You know what I mean? I think if you were against Xbox before E3, you're against Xbox now. They didn't change your mind with anything that they did. And it all started with Xbox One X, because that thing came in at a $450 or less price. And I know that you say it's only $50, but... You know, Aaron Greenberg talked about this too. That price point, there's like that magic number in people's heads where it feels like this justifies a price. And $400, you know, maybe that's an okay price. You know, maybe I ought to go get one. You know, I keep using you as the. Well, actually, Sharif, you don't have a 4K TV, right?
Mm-mm, I don't.
Are you going to get an Xbox One X?
Nope.
Why aren't?
But I also have a gaming PC, right?
Well, okay, then you're. But my point is, because I always use Danny as example. I'm trying to not use him as example anymore. But if you just have a 1080p television, and you don't currently have any plans to upgrade to 4K, why would you get an Xbox One X? And I understand how the way Albert explained it. I know what Phil said on stage with the whole super sampling. But to the average consumer, they don't care about that. They're not going to listen to that. Again, you're talking to hardcore people when you start talking about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Average person is going to go get a 1S because that doesn't push the needle. You know what I mean? And their games lineup, while it's diverse and there's some fun stuff in there, there's nothing ultra compelling that says, oh my God, I got to get this. Honestly, Danny, other than you talking about it, crickets this all week about Crackdown 3. I've really not heard a lot of chatter about Crackdown 3, and that's unfortunate because Crackdown 3 should have, the way that they originally were talking about and hyping it up, mm-hmm. it should be on a Halo Gears level for them, and it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
No, it wasn't even at that level in their conference.
That's my point. It was just thrown in there. The middle, and they focused way more on Terry Crews than the actual game.
Yeah, but the game is fun. I have fun playing it.
And that's fine. No one's saying a game. Every game needs to be a 9 or a 10. Yeah. Fun games can be a 7 or an 8.
Well, isn't it? Wasn't the first Crackdown got like low reviews?
Yeah, but it wound up being super fun.
Yeah.
But then Crackdown 2 wound up being a flop because they didn't capitalize on what made the original fun. So, I mean, we'll see with this one.
Yeah. Pete,
get off your phone.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I know.
Do you want to say anything?
Surprise game? I don't know. I guess I'm gonna agree with Sharif with the Rabbids, because again, I'm a Rabbids fan, and I was kind of on the fence. Actually, I was more on the no side of the fence than on the yes side of the fence with regards to anything Switch related. But this morning, opening that door, walking inside, and playing it, I was just like, I walked out and I was like, damn it, I need to update PowerPoint.
I actually have two more other pleasant surprises for me, because I went in not thinking they were going to live up to what I wanted them to be. That would be Battlefront 2 and Call of Duty World War 2. I'm talking multiplayer for both, that both multiplayers felt fun to me. I like the modes that they're introducing. We played Call of Duty yesterday. It was very fun. It was
PC,
a lot of fun.
PC or console you played?
PC, PS4.
Yeah. PS4.
Yeah. I think it took one game.
Yeah, we were like,
we're back.
This is fun as hell. And like we did an interview, and you guys are here later, but we did a Call of Duty interview today with
Brett Robbins, creative director.
Yeah, for campaign and multiplayer. But we talked about both and just the things that they're trying to accomplish and going. Because to me is Call of Duty, and I said this in an interview too. I go, they freaking lost me like 3 years ago, because when I had to start running on walls and getting robot suits and all this nonsense, I'm like, am I playing Titanfall or am I playing Call of Duty?
Because
methinks they were trying to rip off Titanfall for a little while there, but now they're going back to the roots. I mean, look, the switch to Modern Warfare in 2007 was a nice break from the whole World War II stuff, and it was great. It ran its course. Then they started going to the damn future, and then they went way too far in the future, and now they're pulling it all the way back to World War II, and it's actually great, because it's been over 10 years since we've had a World War II Call of Duty, so I'm ready now. I'm ready to have that experience.
And it's not
again.
Just us. It's the newer gamers that are coming out. They've never had that World War II video game experience. So it's good to bring it back. And hopefully, this new span of time, doesn't oversaturate it, because now that, it's split between three separate, developers.
So, yeah.
What modes did you guys play? Because I played Team Deathmatch, I did Domination, and also the new War mode.
Yes.
War mode was crazy insane. That was a lot of fun.
And that's going to be their big emphasis, it sounds like, because when we were talking to them in an interview, is that War mode. That's the one they're going to really push. Because they said that's the one they're having a blast with in the office when they're playtesting. A lot of yelling, hooting, hollering, and cursing. So, yeah, that's what we want. I want to play Call of Duty. It's nothing. It just went too way off in the left field for me that my attention turned elsewhere. So glad to see it. And I will say this for the record, despite what Sharif might think, Activision is going to have the number one and number two best selling games this holiday. Mm. Bottom line,
I can see that.
Floating cash. Oh, and one more to add to the surprises: Fortnite from Epic.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, okay, I can see it. I'll check it out. It wasn't something that I wanted to, like, run out and buy. I didn't think it was mark that as a wish list item on my Steam. After playing it, like, I sat there, I was like, I went through the tutorial, and then there was like three devs, and they were like, hey, we're gonna go play. You want to jump on here? And when you see devs at a show floor or at a convention center rushing to jump in and play their game at any possible time, you would think that they'd be sick of that whole thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But to see them clamoring for open spots to jump in and play goes to show how much fun it is. And even someone who had just learned how to play 5 minutes prior was able to go in and help them, and we went through the whole process, and you know, we got the van to escape. Like I was shocked, and like my first response, I was just like one word, Fortnite, because it was a blast. It was a nice change of pace from everything else.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like, speaking of Fortnite and Sea of Thieves and something like Monster Hunter, Destiny, and Anthem, like this new trend of all these co-op games where you're playing with somebody.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there was the big trend where multiplayer was playing against somebody PvP, but it seems like everybody is trying to put in a mode where you play together with somebody to accomplish a goal, to have the same mission, and I love that, and I'm seeing that in all these games, and can't wait to take part.
Because it gets away from the toxic. Because what in my opinion, what had been happening here over the past, I don't know, let's just say since Modern Warfare, so since probably 2007, mm-hmm. you're seeing a lot of toxic gaming communities built around these multiplayer games, because you were putting people against each other mm-hmm. constantly.
Right.
It was who's the best at this, who's the highest rank at this, blah, blah, blah. Whereas now, like you're saying, we're seeing this trend of, instead of everyone trying to fight each other, let's work together and fight the AI.
Right.
You know, let's put these complex puzzles together that requires communication and teamwork to get past, you know, and it sprouts positivity in those gaming communities, because you actively want to seek out people to help you, and there's people that actively want to Sherpa and help other people so they can accomplish mm-hmm. the same things, you know? So, yeah, I'm digging it. I like that this is the trend that we're seeing. And look, you know, PvP games have their place, of course. We love them, mm-hmm. but let's stop making them the main focus of the game. Is how many kills can I rack up, you know, instead of, you know, let's bring people together, you know, in communities from around the world, and, you know, work towards a common goal versus just trying to knock each other upside the head.
So. Yeah, it's the only way that we're going to grow the gaming audience.
It is, in my opinion, absolutely.
It's the only way. You know, my partner, the only time we game is when there's co-op stuff, you know. And I think that, you know, that's probably true for like a lot of people, and for friends that they have that don't consider themselves gamers per se. I think that they would be interested if they could do something where you're both on the same team, but they can still pull their own weight. I mean, it's like not like they're feeling like they're hurting the team or like slowing them down. Like, I think that a lot of games now are really doing a great job at mm-hmm. at that balance.
They're like too scared to go online or something. Because of that, yeah.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of horror stories. I'm sure we all have them ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we have a sponsor for this week.
Yeah, we do. And shout out to Western Digital for sponsoring us. You know, lately it's been beneficial for us. You know, Paris and I, you know, avid PC gamers. We've been, you know, you updated yours, and updated it with your 4 terabyte drive. So now you can do all your video stuff. And I'm looking forward to finishing mine when I get back home. So with Western Digital, you're now able to get some solid-state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. And when you add the superior performance of a WD solid-state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speed so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable WD hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for a limited time only, Gamertag Radio listeners can get 20% off WD SSDs with the coupon code WDGTR. So find out more at WD.com/GTR.
And he's spot on. I mean, the fact that like this week proved we've been doing a lot of game capture, mm-hmm. we're going to go home, start editing video, all that. That 4 terabyte, I keep saying it every time, but that 4 terabyte SSHD drive I have is a lifesaver, because I need the space to be able to do this kind of stuff. And then those SSD drives, if you are a gamer, you want those faster read times, you want those faster load times in the game. So it's 20% off. It ain't $5 off, it's 20% off.
Yeah.
Take advantage of this. The code WDGTR, I'm telling you, it's a lifesaver.
Yeah, especially if you're doing game capture, really hit home for us after that first day when I ran out of storage.
Yeah, 4K video.
Quickly, especially if you're doing, like Paris was doing, with the 4K 60 frames per second, that chews through space fast. You know, and I went through, I had a terabyte of content that I had to start shuttle, you know, moving off to other drives and put it up onto my laptop just so I could have additional space to go around and do additional capture stuff.
And let's be real here. I know people are listening to this going, oh, well, they're just saying this because they sponsor. Look, yes, they are sponsoring us. But this is a good freaking deal. And I would not keep emphasizing this if it wasn't. So, again, just take advantage, man. WD.com/GTR. Use that code for 20% off. WDGTR.
All right. So last year, I remember our last day, we talked about, man, E3 is kind of, it's dying. E3 is dying last year. This year, it was like too much people attending. I believe they announced the numbers, right? The official numbers?
68,000.
All right. Back in, I believe it was 2006.
Because that was the boiling point.
Yeah, went to Santa Monica. Was over 101,000 people that were there at that E3. I love the fans attending E3 and everything. I think that ESA did a bad job the first day. Second and third day, they did a little bit better. But do you think next year they're going to have this open to the public again? Yes or no? And why? This is a Miss Leo advanced prediction right here.
Miss Leo.
Miss Leo.
I heard a little bird flying around the convention center saying that ESA is probably going to make an announcement soon after E3 about they won't open it to the public again for next year. That's what I'm hearing. I got my ears
silent.
Man, I would be absolutely shocked if they stop this. I think they've opened the floodgates. I think they're going to keep it open to the public. I do think that they're going to manage it a lot better, though. For one, I know that at some of the booths and some of the appointments that I've had, some of the developers were saying that they don't feel like that they properly got the advance notice from the convention center on like how to prepare for both the media and the public. So I think a lot of it just comes down to just them being able to manage them, whether it's having a press day or like making it clear to having separate like lines to like making sure that there's certain machines that are reserved, which I believe Square Enix did. You know, I think that there's a million things that they could do better, and I think that that's what it comes down to. But I think the public thing is going to keep going because it's too much money for them, and you know, and it's just a good positive kind of brand thing. Because all these people, even though they might have had a bad time, I think the overall sentiment will most likely be positive from the fans that were able to go.
All right, so we have one says yes, another one says no. Peter Paris, I personally think yes, but it might be different. Like you said, schedule-wise, maybe in the morning from 9 to 12, you know, the media, and after that, open to the public. That's what I think, but go ahead.
I'll say a couple of days ago when I was here in the studio and I was tired, and I was angry and salty. I was like, I'm friggin' done. I'm done. I'm not doing this thing with the public anymore. That first day was just mentally draining to me. It truly was. It was not fun. I do not like doing this stuff when it's not fun. Now having a couple more days, you know, the crowds weren't as bad. But I will still stick with this. When we talked to Michael Pachter this morning, which is what you were kind of alluding to, you know, his idea of basically splitting up the day between media and public could potentially work. But I think ultimately that's not going to be the solution to this. I know I've talked with some industry people that they don't want to do this because it costs more money, but they need to add another day. And then they need to give the press two full days of let us do our job. Thursday, combine them like Voltron. And then Friday is just open to the public because the media is going to be out anyways, right? To me, I think we all win. The people that suffer are the people that actually work E3 because now they're working an extra day.
And that's more money, too, for the company.
Right, and that's more money. So that's what I mean. I honestly, I don't think that's going to happen either. and I know I'm going to catch heat for this, but I don't think the public should be going to E3. That's what you got PAX for. That's what you got Comic-Con for. I don't think E3 is not made for the public. And this week just solidified that in my mind. And I'm not saying that to be an ass. I'm saying it because the three of us come here to work. We don't come here to, we pass up parties and all this nonsense all the time. We're not here to have fun. We're here, well, we have fun because we like what we do, but we're not here to goof off. We're here to get to our appointments, get all the coverage we possibly can, and get it out and do what we got to do. We might have set a record this week with the amount of episodes and things that we've been able to put out. Guarantee you we could have had even more if the public wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the reason we got so much of the coverage we got is because it was before E3. If we had to do all that during E3, impossible. Impossible. Mm-hmm. We simply could not get from point A to point B on time with a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I know people that don't go to E3 probably hearing them, oh, look at Paris. He just think he's this elitist. He just want to walk in there. They can pamper him, you know, when he's trying to get his little interview or something. But it's not about that, man. I mean, it's just about give me the space to do my job. I've been going to this thing since 2001. I was on the other side of being that person that should not have been here, and I was in the way, to slowly evolving now into a person who's here to try and get stuff done. And I see it both ways, and I do sympathize with people. People like, you know, Trey. That we had here. I saw that twinkle. I see the twinkle in Sharif's eyes right now. You know, I get it. But now that I'm old and bitter and I've been doing this so long, I just, don't bother me. Just let me get to where I got to go. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, look, good friend of ours in the industry, I ran into him on the street yesterday and we were talking. He was down in Concourse. Mm-hmm. None of the public were supposed to even be in there. And they busted in there anyways. So it's like, you're disrupting work. You're disrupting business when you do that.
Yeah.
And they don't know any better. They're fans. They're super fans. Or they wouldn't have spent the money to be there. I get it. But they got to separate it. Adopt a Gamescom model or tell everyone to go to PAX. Bottom line.
Mm-hmm. I think even from the public side, I don't know if they got their money's worth.
I don't think they did.
If you read, there was an article on Polygon talking about the people standing in line. There was guys waiting in line for 5 hours for a 10-minute VR demo. That's like more than half the day. The floor is only open, what, from 10 to 6?
I think it's only 12 to 6. I think a lot of them noticed. And they got to see the real deal. Yeah.
You couldn't even walk into the Nintendo booth. I couldn't even walk in there. I was just walking around it. It was so packed. So I don't even, you know, maybe the public also wants a separate day. Like, hey, let's, because I even got kind of dirty looks when I had to cut in front of people to go play The Crew 2 on the Ubisoft
floor. I got a lot of dirty looks.
So, like, who's this guy? Why does he get to go in front of us? And they've been standing in line probably for an hour to play The Crew 2, which is like a 10-minute demo.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that the public also probably would want a separate day if they decide to do it. But I'm kind of with you, Paris. I don't know if I want to go again if they do it like this again, because it was just a little too much. I'd rather do all the pre-E3 events, like we did the Destiny 2 event in May. We did the Far Cry 5 event like a few weeks ago,
right?
All before E3, we were able to get good coverage and stuff. I prefer those
EA Play
was pretty cool.
Yeah,
too.
Well, yeah, because what I think is going to happen is, you know, again, if Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo pull out completely, this thing's a wrap anyways. But what I think is going to happen is, If the ESA just says, we'll just keep it the same, 15,000, waka waka, and keep doing that, right? I think you're going to see more pre-E3 events so that the media can get in and get their coverage. They'll still have their booths. The public can go stand in line all day. Because that was the other thing. I was talking to Cosmo from Bungie last night, and he told me, damn, I just name dropped, sorry. But
you want me to take it?
Big Tom.
Yeah, it's fine. No, that's fine. But he's told me that, you know, as soon as they opened up the booth at Activision, they had to close literally close the line for the day at 10 o'clock in the morning for Destiny 2.
That's
for just
ridiculous.
On the show floor. Because that's just, look, they're all excited, they're eager, but they're all lining up immediately. And it happened again today because a couple of my clan mates in Destiny, they're out here for this. And, you know, we've been texting back and forth, communicating. And he texted, matter of fact, I will literally read it live on air right now. I will read it. Let me find it real quick. He says, What does he say? He goes, well, this was at 11 o'clock this morning, an hour after the thing opened. Well, no Destiny for me today, so I totally hope they let me tag along. Well, you don't need to know that. But but his point was because they shut down the line.
Wow.
Right that soon. That's in the bizarre. Day. That's crazy.
In PlayStation, they have a little app to schedule your if you want to try PSVR or any game demos for that day. They did. They opened it up at 9 a.m. so you can RSVP to try the PSVR game or a game demo or whatever. 1 minute, at 9:01, it was just full for that half. I mean, you had no chance. It was insane. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Pete, what do you think they're going to do next year?
Do I want or what do I need?
what do you think they're going to do?
I think if you haven't listened to our show with Pachter, I think his idea makes sense. There is an additional hall available in the convention center that could be used for something like that. Kind of follows the same model as what Gamescom does, where it splits, you know, consumer versus business, and that gives us as media an opportunity to get what we need while still allowing the consumer to attend. I get what they're trying to do, right? I mean, that one side, you know, you got the business side, they're trying to make up OPEX and CAPEX costs, you know, to you know, raise money for whatever. But from us, you know, from our standpoint, we're here with one focus, to try to get our jobs, try to get as much coverage as possible, you know, for our respective outlets. And it makes things a lot more difficult, and especially when you're introducing consumers to something where we all have an established grind.
Mm-hmm.
Now you.
Yep.
You know, we have, you know, we kind of know the lay of the land. We know how to get to where we want to get. We kind of have our specific paths. Like, if we know we're going to go from south to west, we know our best routes to get to whichever corners of the convention center. And then when you've got the random, you know, green badges, you know, walking, and then, I don't know, for me, it looks like green. So
like green to me.
Right. So when you've got the random green badge that just is walking and then just halts to take a picture of something in the middle of the hallway, and it throws your whole rhythm off, and now you've got to, you know, it's unnecessary from our standpoint. I hope they can find either a happy medium or just nix it all together.
And you got to take this from this context too. Look, we're the, I honestly don't even consider myself media, but we're the small fries in this, right? We're not IGN, we're not Polygram, we don't have these giant staffs of people that can be everywhere at once.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're three people trying to cover as much as we possibly can, so every second counts. And look, I know it sounds like we're whining, you know, and all that stuff, but it's just a reality of it. You know, we take time away from our families and our quote-unquote real lives to be here because we are passionate about this, just like the person that spent $250 on a ticket is passionate about this. I mean, we're in a fortunate place where we do, or we are able to get access to these developers and to these game demos and all that. And, you know, I always try to be respectful of their time. They want to be respectful of my time, and we want to work together because everything we went to that was an appointment. If the appointment was at 2 o'clock, you didn't get actually started on it until 2:30 because there was always a delay on everything you did.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I understand, even in previous E3s, you know, delays happen, things happen. But I've never had every appointment be delayed because there simply were too many people that were, I'm sorry, but they were in the way.
Went behind closed doors without permission.
Oh my God! There was all kind of shenanigans. Remember the you know, our friend at Ubisoft tweeted out how the people tried to impersonate people from GameSpot.
Yeah,
you know, editors.
They had to usher them.
That's not right. That's not right.
That's silly.
Yeah. And even if they didn't get behind closed doors, when I was waiting for appointments, I kept seeing people with the expo passes or the green badges, as Pete says, go up to the media counters and just keep on trying to ask them questions over and over and over again.
Yeah, causing a backup at the media check-in.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I'm really curious to see what the exhibitors' feedback is going to be to the PSA.
We had some conversations.
I heard all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I think we kind of know the consensus on that one.
And shout out to the PR people at Ubisoft and Activision and Step3 and Capcom and everybody working with them. They did, they're really patient with me, at least with me. They're helping me out and, trying to get things done. And even though you can tell they're flustered being working really hard that week, I just want to give them a shout out and thank you for their hard work.
No, 100% agree. Because again, this is the one thing I always try to tell people, man, none of this works without those folks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They are the lifeblood of this whole industry, because they're the ones that get us in front of those developers and, vice versa. They're the middle person and all that. They're the one that are coordinating, scheduling all that
thankless
stuff.
Thankless job.
Yeah, it is a very thankless job. Friend of ours, that's why I personally went and thanked him today for that very reason, because, it's such a thankless job that goes unrecognized, and a lot of it's under NDA. A lot of it we can't talk about. You know what I'm saying? But they deserve recognition for that stuff, man. And they work a lot of long, crazy hours and deal with a lot of different personalities.
Yep.
Not everyone is nice and respectful that they work with.
Some of those devs be stinking too.
Not
just the
public. I know Danny wants to wrap this up, but I just wanted a quick question from everybody. Favorite booth?
Well, there was no games at this booth, but Take-Two was pretty smooth. It was very, very smooth. Yeah. Loved, had like a nice little pool. Everything. It was cool. Really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. I have to say Activision, because they fed me.
I'm thinking about using that one.
Sweet.
I have to second Activision for reasons.
Nice. Yeah, I really enjoyed Bosky's booth for Lawbreakers.
Yeah, that was a dope setup.
I thought they had a really dope setup. They had the shoutcast in every hour. It was like really lively. It was like a party. I really liked their booth.
Cool.
And for the second year in a row, I never went to Nintendo.
It's just too many people.
You had a chance, but yeah. No, we were just busy. We had too
many people. How do you stay away from New Donk City, man?
Just didn't happen.
Nintendo was dope.
I walked through PlayStation, but I didn't stop.
Last year,
I didn't go to PlayStation.
I didn't bother.
It's just, again, the stuff that we're covering, trying to do, it just never happened.
Yeah. Oh, the dragon at the Warner Brothers booth was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the monster dragonish creature at Capcom's booth was pretty cool, too. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Pete?
Yeah, I'd have to second Activision. I mean, obviously, gave us an opportunity to play Call of Duty, Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
I was on death's door with lack of food today. I didn't have anything to eat all day. We were on the go since 9 a.m. We left the apartment. We left our place at 8:30, and it was, we were running.
Yeah.
And by the time we got to the Activision booth, I was just like, I had like 2 minutes to make it from appointment to appointment to appointment, even with some reschedules. And then we came around, and they were like, yeah, you've got about 10, 15 minutes to wait. You've got, snacks, and popped around a corner, and there was boxes of pizza.
Yeah,
it was
just
like Shangri-La appeared in front of me. And I was like,
I picked up a slice. I was starving.
I saw you guys shoving pizza in your face.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's how Devolver Digital was for me.
They're the OGs.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have a booth. Technically, they were like outside across the street, but man, they had this great food truck that was amazing.
Yeah, to bring them up, I'm glad you brought up Devolver Digital, because I always love them. I always make it a point to schedule an appointment every year over there. The setup you saw, that's every year. That's how they have it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, man, that Absolver.
Yes.
Again, another surprise game. I forgot to talk about that, because I got to play Absolver, talk with the creative director and the dev I was doing the demo with. We had a long conversation. A lot of fun, man. That game is on my radar for sure.
Yep.
Cool, for sure. And I had to smoke sausage over there at the food.
Oh, man. Meatball sandwich there was,
had those hot links.
Money.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I had the hot links last year. Those are money.
Nah, I just want to say thanks to my crew, my brothers, Pete and Paris. Yo, we busted our ass this year, man. We worked really, really hard this year, man. And shout out to Brian, CBS Radio New York, and also Anthony here from CBS Radio LA. They helped us out big time, man. Also, community members have been hitting us up through Discord, and also you know, emails, and those that have been downloading the podcast throughout the whole week and hitting us up on Twitter. Man, amazing content. Keep it up. Keep it up.
That's one other thing. I'm glad you said that, because mm-hmm. that's the other thing with the public being there. I don't know how many times you got stopped. I got stopped a bunch of times by people that just knew us.
Yeah. This is a pretty cool story. We just got out. We interviewed Aaron and Albert. We were leaving from mm-hmm. the Xbox booth. And there was this guy, I think he was about to play an Xbox One game. I can't remember which one. And he was like, "Godfrey, Pete, Paris." And we looked. He's like, "Yo, I'm a fan. I listen to the show. Look, I'm listening to your podcast right now." while he was in line. That was awesome, man. So we took a quick pic. Nice. Shout out to him. And
I got to witness people being starstruck by you guys, which is pretty cool. Over at the Xbox press conference, which is pretty fun.
Yeah. And but also shout out to Trey. Trey, thank you so much, man. He helped us out big time during our interviews.
Impromptu cameraman for both of our interviews. Yeah, so shout out to him, man.
And extra special shout out to EA and EA Game Changers for, you know, all their hospitality they gave us pre E3 and getting us access and all the stuff that they did too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely,
it's really good.
And also one more company I have to mention, you know, Xbox and everybody, but Nintendo hooked us up
big time.
It's been a while since we haven't been invited to their booth, and you know, shout out to them, shout out to the whole PR team. They hooked us up, and they even asked us, "Hey, you want to capture some games?" And we didn't have the right equipment for that, but next time we will.
Yeah,
you know,
but we'll definitely be making moves towards that.
All right, I just want to say thanks to our guests, Q, Sharif. Thanks for coming over here, man.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, it was fun. A lot of fun. Great conversation, man. Great conversation.
Yeah. Shout out to WD as well, Western Digital.
Yeah, man. Remember, shout out to them.
Go to WD.com/GTR. And put in the code WDGTR for your 20% off.
Definitely, man. All right, until next time, we're out. Goodbye, E3 2017. Peace.
Peace.